Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Friends, good evening. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life, eager and happy to bring you this program in partnership with Right Side Broadcasting Network, Praying for America. Today is a very special day, and we're going to talk about that. It's Constitution Day, September the 17th, and I'm going to tell you a whole lot more about that and what we can do to honor our Constitution. So welcome. Thanks for your patriotism. Thanks for your faith. Thanks for your prayers. And I remind you, we all pray for one another during this broadcast. So if you have particular prayer needs, let us know what they are. Put them in the comments, many as you want. We'll all pray for each other during this special time together. I want to start in Scripture, as we always do, with Romans chapter 5, the first 11 verses. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, although perhaps for a good person one might even find the courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more once reconciled will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let us pray. Lord, our founding fathers knew of this grace of reconciliation through the death of Christ, of new life through his resurrection. They knew of the hope poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and that is why they had the courage to establish this government. They had the courage to cast off the yoke of tyranny. They had the courage to start a new experiment. They had the courage to conduct an experiment of self-governance. They had the hope inspired by the Holy Spirit that entrusting themselves to your providence, O God, there would come about a nation where acknowledging you, the rights of all the citizens would be protected. We thank you for that gift. We receive and embrace that gift. And we commit ourselves yet again as we pray for America to defend that gift, to teach our children about it, to pass it along, knowing that freedom is not automatically transferred from one generation to the next, but rather must be fought for at all times with eternal vigilance. Thank you, Lord, for this gift, for this reality. We pray in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. Well, you know, during the course of my prayer, I thought about, let's see if I have one here. I thought about the dollar bill. Yes, let me take this dollar bill out. Do you take a dollar bill, if you would, and take a look at the back. There's a pyramid on it with an eye on the top. And it says "Anuit Cheptis." There's a number of Latin words on our currency. The pyramid is not completed, but the eye of God is showing at the top. And "Anuit Cheptis" means he regards our He has regarded our undertakings, the things we have begun. He himself is watching over the things we have begun. In other words, the pyramid is not finished. The work that our founders started in establishing this country and establishing our Constitution is an ongoing work. The freedom, as we said in the prayer, must always be defended, must always be taught, must always be strengthened. So I have here a copy of the Constitution. It's also the Declaration of Independence. Look how small this little pocket booklet is. I carry it around in my suit jacket pocket all the time. The Constitution of the United States. And the reason today is Constitution Day is that September the 17th is actually a date that is mentioned right in the Constitution, right at the end of it, in Article 7. And it says here, the ratification of the conventions of nine states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this Constitution between the states, so ratifying the same, done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1787. So, in other words, the Declaration of Independence, okay, was ratified on the 4th of July, as we know, 1776. It was 11 years later. It took time to build and craft this Constitution, but 11 years later, 1787, is when the Constitution was signed. Now, this is the signing of it, as the Constitution itself says. The ratification of it would come a number of years later, because when it was signed, the Constitution said, as I just mentioned, that now the states have to ratify it. Now, I want to tell you something about the ratification process that gives us an important insight into our government. But this Article 7 says, okay, so there were 13 states, right, at that time. And the Constitution said, okay, well, when nine of them ratify this Constitution that we just signed, when nine of the states ratify, then it will go into effect. All right, that's when it will be, that's a sufficient number to kick it into effect. And then what happened was, right away, let's get some of the details here. Right away, five states ratified it in pretty rapid succession in the weeks after it was signed. The first one being, those of you who are from the state, do you know which one it is? The first one being the state of Delaware. So all of you Delaware residents, you can be proud of that. Followed by, let's see, well, let me pause there. See if those of you that live in these states know if you were one of the first five to ratify the Constitution, and let us know in the comments. I'll give you a few minutes to do that, and then I'll name which ones the other ones were. So there's this process now. How were the states? What process were they using to ratify the Constitution? This is interesting. So first of all, so you have the federal government. Okay, the meeting in the Constitutional Convention. They signed this document. And then they're turning to the states and they're saying, you ratify it, you approve it, you consent to it, because that's the whole idea. As the Declaration of Independence says, remember, the Declaration of Independence lays out the principles. Who are we as a people? What do we believe? In whom do we trust and depend? God, not government. What is it that we're doing? We're declaring our independence from the king. We're declaring a break with tyranny. We're declaring self-evident truths about human rights. We're declaring who we are. That's the declaration. Then the question of how will we function as a government, the how-to mechanics of government, that's the Constitution. And that's why that took, of course, longer to craft and to hammer out. Because then you're getting into the weeds of a lot of detail about the balance of powers and so forth. The signers of the Constitution turned to the states and said, now you ratify this Constitution because you're going to be living under it. And it wasn't the state legislatures that they asked to approve the Constitution, but the people. In other words, there were special constitutional conventions held in the states consisting of citizens elected by their peers, okay, representative citizens, not the legislators, the people themselves on the citizen level coming together in convention to vote for the Constitution. That's an important little historical detail because it emphasizes the fact that this is indeed government of the people, by the people, for the people, and the principle enunciated in the Declaration of Independence was that the government derives its powers from what? From the consent of the governed. The consent of the governed was employed right from the beginning for the Constitution to be ratified in the first place. So this little document is not something imposed on the people. It's something that comes up from the people. So what were those states that first ratified? Okay, some of you know it, especially if you live in those states. Delaware was the first, followed by Pennsylvania and New Jersey and Georgia and Connecticut. And then it took, So New Hampshire became the ninth of the 13 states to ratify it, and that was in the following year. So September 17, 1787, it was signed, and over these next few weeks, the first five states ratified it. And then almost a year later, June 21st, 1788, is when New Hampshire became the ninth state to ratify it. So according to Article 7 of the Constitution, that was the magic number that you needed to make it go into effect. But then the rest of the 13 states, they all ended up ratifying it. And that whole process was complete almost 2 years later, May 29th, 1790. So, you know, there were some debates. There was some, obviously, again, as I said, you get into the weeds, you get into a lot of detail. The more detail you get into with a governing document like this, the more disagreements there are going to be back and forth. And so the states really had to hammer this out. And it was an effort made by some of the founders, in particular, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay, got together and wrote a series of essays to encourage people, especially in New York. New York was going to be pivotal to the ratification process, but also published throughout the other states, was a series of essays explaining in more detail why the Constitution was a good idea, why the provisions of the Constitution were going to make for a strong government and yet not in any way a tyrannical government. In fact, these papers, which together are called the Federalist Papers, 85 different articles and essays, not long, by the way, they aren't long. The 85 articles and essays explained, for example, why there had to be a separation of powers, why there had to be checks and balances between the different branches of government, why no branch of government, neither the president, nor the Congress, nor the Supreme Court, could have absolute power. And it was in the Federalist Paper number 51, for example, that explained why we need this balance of powers, because the founders, based in their biblical understanding of human nature, realized that you know, this is not a government of angels. You know, he said, if we were governed by angels, we wouldn't need any laws. We're not governed by angels. We are human beings, and human beings have sinful tendencies. We are corrupt in many ways. And they recognize that, therefore, there had to be checks and balances. Nobody could have absolute power. Remember, they were breaking away from tyranny. They didn't want to reestablish it. So the Federalist Papers went a long way in helping the people to be supportive of the Constitution. Because, again, remember, the ratification process was being entrusted to the people, the people. The founders didn't go to the people and say, okay, here's your Constitution. That's not how it happened. Okay, here's your governing document. Here's how it's going to work. They didn't just go to the people and say, here's how it's going to work. They went to the people and they said, here's what we have hammered out as a constitution for these United States. Do you consent? Do you approve of it? That was how it was done. And that's so important. So the Federalist Papers, I want to recommend as an action item for this show, read the Federalist Papers. The text of them is easily available online if you search for it. The Federalist Papers. Read those 85 essays. Read again the Constitution of the United States. Be aware of these important documents. So let me see here. Oh, I mentioned to you a little bit about Federalist Paper 51. I have a quote from here, actually. Let me read it for you verbatim. Ambition must be made to counteract ambition. The interest of the man must be connected with the constitutional rights of the place. It may be a reflection on human nature that such devices should be necessary to control the abuses of government. But what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. Are these not important words for us to spread far and wide today, even as our founders, even as Hamilton and Madison and Jay were spreading these Federalist Papers around, saying, hey, let's get behind this Constitution. Let's have a federal government, but let's limit its power. Let's give a lot of authority to the states. Let's acknowledge the rights of the people. Of course, people were saying, where's the indication of our individual rights? Okay, that was one of the big questions that arose. And that's, of course, what led right away to the Bill of Rights, talking about such things as freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom indeed to petition the government for a redress of grievances. These individual rights were, of course, articulated in the Bill of Rights. But all this whole process was a process involving the public. We need to undertake it again. And that's a good way to celebrate Constitution Day and in the days to come, to circulate again these ideas, get people talking about these things. And imagine if those founders had a social media. I mean, they were getting these Federalist Papers, these 85 essays, out as far and wide as they could, publishing them originally in New York, and they got disseminated to the other states. But wow, if they had the tools we have today, if they had Right Side Broadcasting Network, if they had, you know, all these social media, boy, they would be delighted to use those tools to spread the word about this this philosophy of government. So thank God for the Constitution. Let's celebrate Constitution Day. And, you know, in understanding the Constitution, we have to take account of what these men meant when they signed it, when they wrote it. I mean, they commented on it. They were arguing for it. They had a specific meaning in mind. Now, they knew, and we know, that the circumstances of time and history change. But the fact of the matter is, it's one thing to acknowledge change, to be able to adapt to it. The Constitution itself provides for an amendment process. And of course, amendments have been added to the Constitution. When you get these little pocket versions of the Constitution, you have all the amendments there. There are 27 of them, the last one being ratified in short time ago as 1992. So the Constitution, of course, acknowledges circumstances arise that may require certain clarifications or additional provisions that were not foreseen. But that's a very different thing from saying that the meaning of the Constitution itself changes. So understand this, because sometimes people will use the phrase, well, the Constitution is a living, breathing document. Well, I would classify that as a half-truth. It's not a living and breathing document if what you mean is we can have a different understanding today of what the founders intended in the first place. And that what they intended in the first place doesn't apply anymore. And so then you might as well not have a constitution. It's like you rewrite it every year. We're the only nation in the world today still operating under its original constitution. You have plenty of all the other nations at a certain point, they just threw away the constitution and wrote a new one. We have never had to do that in America. We've never had to scrap the constitution. It's functional today, the very one that was signed on this very day in 1787. That says something. Our Constitution allows for an amendment process, and that has helped us a great deal and will continue to help us. But that's a very different thing from saying, we no longer believe in what the original Constitution says, so let's just throw that aside. See, if people interpreting the Constitution as a living, breathing document in the sense that you can shape it into anything else that you want it to be, no matter how different that is from what the founders intended, well, that's just another way of scrapping the Constitution and writing a new one. We cannot allow that to happen. We cannot allow the courts to do that, because a lot of times that's what the courts try to do. We cannot allow any branch of government to try to do that. You want to amend the Constitution? Well, then do the difficult work of amending the Constitution. And it's not easy to get two-thirds of the House, two-thirds of the Senate, and three-quarters of the states to ratify an amendment. That's a steep hill to climb. And the founders made it purposely steep to climb, because you don't tamper with a document like this lightly. Constitution Day, let's teach these founding documents. And this, of course, ties in with what President Donald Trump initiated, the patriotic education, the 1776 Commission, to come against the kind of nonsense that the left has pushed on us in these recent years, with this notion of the 1619 theory about, America was really founded with slave trade and it was rooted in evil. Every country has its flaws. My ministry itself, Priests for Life, dealing with the abortion issue every day. We shine a spotlight on a very big flaw of our country right now, in as much as we are allowing the killing of babies in the womb. We have one of the worst policies on abortion in the whole world, allowing it throughout pregnancy. This has to stop. So it's not like we don't realize our own flaws and our own shortcomings, our own violations of the very principles that we enunciate in the Declaration of Independence, including the right to life. But it's that we affirm that our founding documents set forth these principles, and America is always a story of constantly striving to implement them better and better and correcting our mistakes in line with those founding documents. We have always been pointing in the right direction, and we strive to ever more completely live it out. We've got the best thing going. You can't get any better than the principles enunciated in the Declaration of Independence. Government depending on God. God is the source of our rights. Self-evident truths of the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All people created equal. You don't get any better than that. You can't improve on that. And so this is one of the reasons why it's still in place. It's still active. And people come from all over the world to live in a country that acknowledges these principles. Let's celebrate Constitution Day. Let's talk about it. Let's spread the word about it, even in the coming days. In the coming days, just echo these truths and help people to understand the tremendous blessings we have. Okay, so I want to go on to just make a couple of other comments, and as we go back into prayer here. Did you see the polls coming out in recent days about Joe Biden and his approval ratings? Wow. There's really some bad stuff for him. It's not a surprise to us, because we've been saying from day one what a disaster it is to have this man in the White House. Quinnipiac University, the results of its latest survey earlier this week, Biden has fallen to a new low in its polling, 42%. And that figure represents a swing of 11 points against Biden since early August. 11 points since early August. On every major issue, his polling numbers are upside down. Handling of the Afghanistan withdrawal, 31% approve, 65% disapprove. It wasn't a withdrawal, it was a surrender. Biden's handling of the economy, 42% approve, 52% disapprove. Biden's handling of foreign policy, 34% approve, 59% disapprove. His handling of the China virus, 48% approve, 49% disapprove. And asked about their satisfaction with the direction of the country, the number of Americans dissatisfied is 69%. And those satisfied, a mere 29%. By the way, those 29%, where in the world are they coming from? Be interesting to have a conversation with some of them. Monmouth University poll isn't much better. Biden's approval ratings, 46%. That's down 8 points since January, according to their polling. His disapproval rate shot up in that time, 16 points. So for a swing of 24 points against Biden since he took office. The Monmouth poll again also found that only 29% of Americans feel that the country is on the right track. You know, again, you got to scratch your head and wonder what these people are thinking, or maybe what they're sniffing. But as we pray, let's pray for them. Let's pray for our citizens. And some of them are among the clergy too. They really got their head screwed on the wrong way when they applaud Biden and they applaud the Democrat platform. These people have a lot to repent of. Let's pray for them as we pray for America. Lord, we pray for all our fellow citizens. We are all in need of you. We are none of us infallible. We need your grace. We need your light. We need your Holy Spirit. But Lord, in particular, we've got some fellow citizens that are disconnected. They are disconnected from the Constitution and the Declaration. They're disconnected from the founding principles of this country and our history. They're disconnected, unfortunately, Lord, from the faith and from the Word of God. We ask you to save them, enlighten them, reconnect them, heal them, bring them into your Word, to your grace, to your Spirit, and into the patriotism and the love of country that we celebrate here as we gather. Lord, bless our fellow citizens who, those 29% who think our country is going in the right direction, and awaken them, Lord, to the crisis that we are in, the crisis of killing babies by abortion and taxpayers being forced to fund it, the crisis on the world stage of America being embarrassed and weakened in the international eye. The crisis at our southern border, which we don't have a border anymore. The crisis of the disease and crime and abuse being just welcomed into our country. The crisis, Lord, that public morality faces as we continue to drift farther and farther away from the truth that your word sets forth about the dignity of the human person, the meaning of human sexuality, your establishment of the gift of marriage and family life. Lord, our citizens, our fellow citizens who think we are moving in the right direction, awaken them, enlighten them, help them. And Lord, for the rest of us, keep us strong in the faith and in the principles that your word holds forth for us. May we constantly be echoing these truths, passing them on to our families, and living them out in the public square. And together now, joining all these intentions, along with praying for all the prayer requests that have been placed on our comments, let us offer the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Well, friends, again, my recommended action to you on this Constitution Day, September 17th, a date mentioned in the Constitution at the very end as the day that they signed it. Get your pocket copy of the Constitution, reread it, and read the Federalist Papers. Look up the Federalist Papers, and in the course of the coming weeks, read those 85 essays. That will give you an even deeper understanding of how our country is structured, how our government is structured. Thanks, friends, for what you do to defend our nation, pray for our nation, and speak up for our great 45th president, Donald Trump, who has done so much, continues to do so much, and will do so much in the future for the greatness of America. And of course, finally, stay connected with me on social media, Fr. Frank Pavone. You see the address on the bottom. On all the major platforms, and also Right Side Broadcasting at RSB Network. We all want to stay connected with you each day. As Scripture says, let's encourage one another while it is still today. Prompt one another to good works and strengthen one another in the faith of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Keep your families safe and answer all your prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Father Frank Pavone here. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.